someone distracted me. I packed up all my stuff and I left them on the table.
No! Why would you tell me that?
I told you it was a sad story.
It's a terrible story.
Welcome to Watchy, your weekly dose of all things pop culture. And tonight with me, we have our regular co-host, Mickey D. Mickey B, should I say.
Should be B.
And back for third time, lucky, we've got Nikki D.
Yes, I am Nikki D, you're right. I'm glad you recognize it's the third time because no one else knows that.
Yeah, well, it is the third time.
Yeah, because the first time I was the silent watcher, and every time you throwed me, I got stage fright and wouldn't say a word.
True. Well, that is true.
Well, let's roll back to Mondo Rock. Third time.
Okay, if you must.
Wow. So, back once again, talking all things comics, movies, TV, and anything else that we might tangent off on.
Well, we've got burger rings that right now are forming Mickey Mouse's head.
Right.
Which
well,
I'm
yep.
very impressed.
Well, like I said, Mickey B and Nikki D. Nathie S. doesn't cut it, does it?
No, nah, sorry. No. We're not onto something when you did that one.
We really didn't. Yeah. So maybe let's get on to the news.
Let's do it.
Bryan Singer officially announced on his Instagram page that Lana Condor will play Jubilation Lee, a.k.a. Jubilee, in the next X-Men Future Class franchise, X-Men Apocalypse, due 2016.
And that could be the last appearance of Jennifer Lawrence, because she ain't doing any more after that.
She ain't no more.
She's had enough.
She said, yeah. Hell no.
Mystique's out.
She is out. So,
luckily, Mystique can beat anyone.
Well, I was just thinking that. She's the easiest to recast, really.
Yeah.
I like this new face. I think I'll stick with it for a while.
Yeah. I like you.
So for those of you who are not familiar with Lana Condor, none of us are, because this will be her first feature film.
Ah, so good chance she may get an introducing.
Well, I would say so. So, I mean, it's been something that the fans have been asking for pretty much since the first X-Men film.
Very popular character.
And Jubilee was created in the, was it the 80s cartoon? So that
she was definitely in the first episode of the 80s cartoon, but I'm not sure when she was introduced.
I don't think she was in the comics at that stage. I think she was in the 80s cartoon, which was then transferred into
her
the comic.
Her look and her powers are very 80s-esque.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's very dazzler-esque.
The only other person who wears a yellow trench coat is Dick Tracy.
That's correct.
Okay, he wasn't from the 80s, but his look is gone. It's voluntarily gone.
Well, I could bring it back.
You should. Give it a shot.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Warren Beatty will call you up and say, good work, Mike. Good
That's
work.
Right.
Would you like to star in a new film? Dick Tracy 2.
Dick Tracy 2.
Mick yeah. Tracy.
Return of the Frank.
Mick Tracy. Mick Tracy. All right, keeping on, keeping on. First image of The Thing has been revealed from
no
the Fantastic
empty promises.
What?
You go now.
Shush. Shush your face. It's the news. It's not the mic show. The first image of the Thing has been revealed from the Fantastic Four reboot. The Thing actually stands at about 2 feet taller than the rest of the team. And the thing is actually CG motion captured, appears to look a lot more like a Rocky-type figure.
They had a lot of trouble doing it, too.
Rather than the less latex suit from the other.
They got off to a rocky start, but eventually.
You had to. You couldn't help yourself.
Nope.
You hear that? Yeah, those drums again, Mike. Anyway, so he does look pretty cool. It was actually a big banner that they put up, and they were hoping, the studio was hoping to put it out there before anybody had seen the banner. Some guy walked past, cha-chee, got a photo with it, straight on Instagram and straight onto the interweb. So
I wonder how many marketing campaigns are ruined like 30 seconds into it by social media. You just got this one guy going, curse you, Instagram.
I would say plenty. Talking about movie studio, Sony Pictures has nabbed the rights to Robotech. Now, Robotech is the 1980s Japanese cartoon. It was about a group of pilots who flew planes that can transform into robots or mechas while fighting three different alien species from taking over the Earth.
And is that the one where they use pop music?
No.
Okay. Oh, I'm getting confused. It's another one. It's another early 80s anime style.
You're not talking about Starbladers. Starblazers.
Oh, I don't think I am.
There's a music for that too.
See, now, I love the music from Heavy Metal.
Yes.
I like the music from Ulysses 31.
Oh,
there was a theme song for that.
Yes. How good is it now? We're listening to it right now. Everyone, stop.
Wow. That was great, though.
Amazing.
Syllables they can put in Ulysses.
Yeah.
It really was.
So, well, that was just to carry the song, wasn't it? It really was. Getting back to Robotech, though, this is actually the third time in 15 years that the rights for the actual for this film have transferred from studio to studio. The first one was actually was held by Leonardo DiCaprio, who planned to produce it, star in it, I don't think he was going to direct it, but he definitely had the rights. He wanted to produce it, and he wanted to star in it.
And so, he definitely has too much money.
And that was, like I said, 15 years ago. So,
then he went
and
catched me in Canada, apparently.
Well, was that about 15 years? Anyway.
I don't
know. And so that's pretty much the news for this week. Anybody else got any news that is worth talking about?
One Direction. Oh no! Enough.
That upsets Nick.
I'm crying on the inside.
He loves it.
It's the tears of a clown. No, that's not right.
It's insane. It's insane.
I was going to say that we are glad to have Nick back while everybody thinks about the news, because Mike inviting a mime last week was not quality listening at all for anybody.
Oh, he did so much for it that episode.
Well,
so
for much. You. For you, not for anybody else listening.
I can't imagine you being too happy with him after that.
It really wasn't. It was terrible.
You couldn't see the potential.
Yeah. Well, anyway, nobody could. Nobody could hear the potential either.
That's true.
Mike, any news?
I'm going to say, well, I will save my news for the comics section of today's show.
Oh.
So nothing else news-wise for me, really? No.
Yep.
No.
Well, I've got this rash.
Moving on.
There's no news.
Oh, no news is good news. All right, no worries.
Doctor.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go into watching.
I do watch something. Well, not this week's Flash, but last week's Flash. And what an absolute corker of an episode.
Okay, so we are now, it's now been 7 days, 8 days.
Episode 15.
Since episode 15. Mm-hmm. So I think that's credence to be able to...
Spoiler alert!
There you go. You've been warned. Anyway. Looch.
So Barry Allen's now dead. What a surprise.
I did say that in my message. They all died. What do you think, Mike?
Bloody good. Really good.
Yeah.
You know, when he introduced himself at the end as Eobard. And it was kind of like people going, I knew it! Or it was like, I didn't know it.
Who is this guy? Let me Wikipedia that.
What is an Eobard?
What is an Eobard?
Yeah.
But the way he was kind of like, you know, the whole, the bow when he introduced himself and everything. But look, Tom Cavanagh's, I always liked him since Ed.
Yes.
And I think he's done a really good job this season. And I just think it's going to be interesting to see how Sisko is going to return, because he will. And I think potentially he will return as Vibe.
Yeah, but we're talking about spoilers here. He went back in time, 24 hours prior.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Well, I haven't seen what's happened since then, so.
Well, that's all I have to say is.
I wish I had a beard right now. I'd be stroking it.
Yes. Like he's stroking Lopan's beard right now.
Yes. So,
yeah.
I want the speedster with the green eyes.
But no, look, absolutely loved it. Great show.
One of the great things about Flash, I think, is that it takes itself seriously, but also it embraces the fact that it's a comic book.
Mm.
Like, you've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which tries to play the cool reality card kind of thing like the Avengers did. Not saying it's super real like Batman Dark Knight was, but they're trying to ground it.
Mm.
They're trying to be real people in this world. And Flash, it's kind of like, someone turns up with powers to, you know, control the weather, and they go, okay,
Yeah.
Because we've got a guy who runs faster than light in the back room. So it's kind of like, they just run with, pun intended, they run with these things.
I must admit, that is one thing that I enjoy about this as opposed to other shows, when things happen in you know, like we've got people with superpowers and they're like, oh, come on, really, Dracula's in this? And it's like, hang on, you've got a guy that wields a hammer and you've got a guy that can, you know, that does something else. You're serious? You're concerned about Dracula now?
The guy that does something else.
Well,
again?
You know, he's got that power.
Something else, guy.
He's got that power. But you know what I mean? I mean, why I've never understood how they could be surprised at seeing something like that when they're subject to you know, elements that you wouldn't normally encounter in your daily life. So that's what I think. Like you, Nick, I think I enjoy that one of those elements of Flash, among others.
And I think that's one of the reasons why things like Tom Cavanagh's announcement of his real name was so good. Because he's like, we've known he's the villain for the whole time.
Yeah.
He's always been doing dodgy things. And then he comes out and says, I am Air Bard. And he does that little flourish and he's like, yeah, you are the villain of the piece. Yeah. There is no doubt.
Well, the exciting thing is that now, Nick, you've seen the next episode after
I
that.
I have, because I went into the future.
And so did I. And I sort of said, you know, that it probably it was nowhere near as good as the previous as the one that you've seen, Mike.
Yes.
But it needed to – but it had the Rogues Gallery in it. And that's not giving anything away because,
it's the episode's name.
It's the episode's name.
Yeah.
But it needed to be. It needed to obviously switch gears to ramp up for the coming episode, which is the Trickster. Mm. So we're going to have two tricksters in the one episode.
Yeah, there's some great images from that episode too. So
yeah, and the way that they've weaved the storyline of Mark Hamill's character, original Trickster, going to jail, showing pictures of him from the original Flash series from the 80s. Is a really nice, you know, sort of nod to that series, which is great.
One of the best screen caps to date from that TV show is the one showing both tricksters dragging John Wesley's ship out of jail.
Yes.
It's just like it's the old gang and some new punk, and it just works so well.
Yeah,
I love it.
And look, with all the potential now for time travel, the Flash, I'm just there. I mean, time travel, I think, is one of my favorite science fiction topics. And there is so much you can do. I mean, you can have a whole season based on Quantum Leap. There's a whole TV show based on time travel and, you know, going through time. So, you know, seeing how things can be affected. I mean, you could even do something where you wouldn't even think your things would be affected. And like a season later, they'll go, by the way, bam, this happened because of this.
Yeah. And with the way they plan TV shows these days, like they know season 2 is on the way. So they're already planning that. You're right. They could set something up right now. In that episode that we're not going to see until
it's Flashpoint. I'm telling you, it's Flashpoint. It's
yeah. Come.
So it's going to be great. I'm
that's my pun.
So we shouldn't tell Mike that Barry goes home in the next episode and his mum's waiting for him?
She really is.
Oh.
And then everyone dies.
Hey, Barry, have some cookies.
Oh, that's just creepy.
Why does his mum sound like that? Hey, Barry.
Is she Freddy Krueger?
No.
What's going on there?
If I really wanted to, I could try and make Mike this doesn't do. Sound more like Gus
McHugh. Mike doesn't do.
Mike doesn't do.
Mike doesn't do very good women's impersonations. He really doesn't.
Clark Real Estate, new home, sweet land.
Right, moving on.
Look that up.
What else have you been watching,
Mike?
He's been watching late night television, I think.
What else have you been watching, Mike?
Back when the Extension Factory was brand new. And it was one of the sponsors of the early bird show, I believe. Anyway, that's all I've watched, so you can leave me alone.
Good night.
What have you guys been watching?
Nick?
I have been watching. Well, I caught up on TV.
Yep.
Because that was good. Now that all my shows are back, my stories.
Yep.
But actually, I've been watching
your
Community.
Your friends are back.
My friends. I've been watching Community season 6 because that started.
And
look, any time a show has an ensemble cast and you begin to lose members, you got to worry because part of what makes shows like that great is the ensemble.
Lost three characters now.
Yeah. So Pierce is gone. Chevy Chase.
Yep.
I want to call him Miles Morales, but that's not his name.
We'll stick with that.
What's his name? Charles Gambino, Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
He plays Troy, whatever his name is.
True.
And now you've lost Shirley.
Yep.
Which I didn't actually know she was going to be missing from the season, so that was a real surprise.
Yep.
So the group is shrinking, and you still got Chang, who, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Chang. I love to hate him. I don't like his character. But they've introduced someone who is actually one of my all-time favorite voice actors, and that's Padgett Brewster.
Yep.
She was in Criminal Minds.
Oh, yeah.
But she's also in a podcast called Thrilling Adventure Time. She's wonderful. And they brought her in as kind of like this consultant to help Greendale. And she's all business. Like, she kind of got the real deadpan kind of thing going on. And she is awesome. So the first episode, I watched it and I was like, I don't know. Second episode, I was like, oh, I really don't know. Third one, like, I watched that last night. I'm like, okay, I'm on board. It's working.
So, okay. So you're on board for Community.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say that. I'm on board, and I reckon it's going to go places properly and good.
Now, is this the last season?
If you go by their mythology, what comes next is a movie.
Right.
Because they've got that whole six seasons and a movie thing. Yep. So I don't think there's going to be a seventh season.
Yeah.
I think they're well and truly seasoned out. But they could go out with a
bit. Seasoned at this point. So
they're extremely well
seasoned. They're well seasoned.
Heavily seasoned.
Overly seasoned, probably.
I think it's possible. Definitely reached the end of the idea, like the whole guy going back to college to get his degree, meets a whole bunch of misfits, goes on. Because he went on, then he came back. It's like,
Is Abed annoying now without Troy?
Abed's weird without Troy. He's really used in a new way. Like, no, that's a lie. It's not a new way. Lots of fourth wall kind of punching.
Right, okay.
Lots of little references or quirky things like that. It is weird not having Troy there. He really flourished.
Because you can't
Troy
have Abed and Troy in the morning either. So,
no, that's been gone forever.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's a sad state of affairs.
It is.
When you don't have that.
Yeah.
Because that was fun. But, okay, so, Community, anything else?
Caught up on Flash. Flash is great. Caught up on Arrow. Arrow is great. Yeah. Caught up on Supernatural. Immediately forgot what happened. I think that's another show that is, that one's actually overdue to be finished.
Unfortunately.
What is this, 10, 11?
It's 10, but they've got 11.
It's already approved.
Wow.
I don't know what they're going to do. It's like they've killed everything.
Well, the interesting thing was is that when they announced this season that's currently airing, It was, we're gonna deal with the Mark of Cain, which is what they've been dealing with, and it's probably
dealing with Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is Michael the big bad.
Yeah.
Keeps coming.
And what does he say? What does he say in the mic? What's he saying?
If you got an issue, here's a tissue. Yeah. That's me with Michael powers. So
most people don't know that. I beat Lucifer. I really did.
So we've got the Mark of Cain, which has pretty much taken over the entire season. It was only supposed to go halfway through. They decided to extend it, and they talked about how the theme this season was supposed to be witches. But we really haven't seen much of it, and I don't really care.
Yeah, because Rowena was the witch.
Yeah.
She's
the mother.
Crowley's mum.
Yeah.
So she spent most of the time telling Crowley how bad a job he's doing.
Yeah.
And Timothy Munson was Cain, and he's awesome.
When
the Mark moved on to Dean, it became almost like a drug addiction storyline.
Mm.
It was all about him coping with it. And, you know, that's fine. It tells a good story. But it was kind of like, so what are we doing this week? We're still struggling with that. And that's the main topic of
lots
the episode.
Lots of forlorn looks into the air.
Lots of pulling up the sleeve and looking at the arm. Is it still? Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. Yeah.
That costuming group, they get that thing on every day. It's awesome.
But yeah, I agree. I'm really struggling with this season. It's definitely, I must admit that Supernatural was always probably in my top three that I was always looking forward to in the week. But this, it's definitely dropped, you know, into my top 10 if I really look forward to something.
Yeah. And it's also like they came out with such big bads at the start.
Yeah.
Like they were dealing with demons and then they're dealing with Satan.
Mm.
And since they beat Satan. And the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
How do you...
Well, every season since then, they've tried to top that, and you've just gone, you didn't quite top that.
Sometimes I wonder, especially with Supernatural, whether they, you know, and I'm saying this now because we're talking about how the Mark of Cain is dragged out, but I wonder whether sometimes they finish things too quickly.
Hmm.
So, like, when he was in Purgatory, that story got finished within, you know, half a season, if that. When it would have been really nice to see more of what Purgatory was about.
I guess it's because they deal with them season by season. They want to wrap up the story by episode 23 or whatever. Whereas you could drag that into a second season of story, but if you don't get that next season, you don't.
What if they change tact and kind of go for the whole Scooby-Doo angle where they've got to take down the mean aquarium owner? Because he's just the grumpy old man who's wearing disguises.
Well, it is funny you should say that though, because they have. I have noticed more this season than other seasons that they appear to be building almost like a Scooby-Doo team. So you've got like Felicia Day, and you've got Crowley, and you've got
a dog.
You've got, what?
There's no dog.
What the heck? And you've got Castiel, and then you've obviously got the Winchester boys. So you do, in a certain way, have this Scooby-Doo team, which, you know, they don't all go on the case together. Some go and some don't, and so they intersect with each other.
Montage.
I think what they should do is they should really up the ante and make the Winchesters like all-powerful god kind of characters, and then it's the world having to take them back and put them in their box.
That'd be good.
That's how you should finish the story off. Make them ascend them to gods, and then go, well, you've gone too far. You push the limits. Go back to being normal. And,
I like that idea.
Then you can sort of reset the status quo, and the story's done.
Well, hopefully they've learned from this season, and we have a better season next.
They do seem to have an off season in 11, a good one. So,
yeah, I can see hit and miss there. I can see hit and miss. So you're up to date with everything.
I feel I am, but now you've said that, I'm doubting it. So keep going. Talk about something else before I come up with a thing I'm not up to date on with a plausible.
Okay,
Agents of Shield.
Agents of Shield. What about Agents of Shield?
I'm not up to date.
Talking about talking. They are. They really are talking about talking. I've seen the latest one. Where are you up to in that?
Last one I saw was with Angar the Screamer.
Oh.
That was great. He stands out in the football pitch and just bellows and everyone falls over. And then birds fall out of the sky. And that was awesome. I just, like, that last touch, I was like, well done. Didn't expect that.
Yeah. That took them over their budget. But they...
That's it. Special effects for the year right there. Carl McLaughlin, you just have to look like a maniac for a while. Sorry, I told you to pull it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that was an interesting episode. It's kind of, you know, it's starting to scale back again. But I think it was like I was saying to Mike last week, that I think with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they did so well in keeping in line with the whole Avengers sort of storyline. Yep. And then you had Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Now we're gearing up to, now we're dealing with Age of Ultron, where now it seems to be that the storyline is getting to a point where we're going to stop pretty much on its head.
I'm getting the impression that, it's going to, their season finale is probably going to intersect with Age of Ultron really closely.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling that Age of Ultron is all about the Avengers manning up a bigger defense team kind of thing, because S.H.I.E.L.D. fell apart, so they've got to fill the gaps, as it were.
Yeah.
And in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be seeing the bad guys kind of doing the same thing. Because what is Carl McLaughlin's name in the show? I want to say Dr. Hyde, because that's who he's based on. But they've never called him that. Anyway, Agent Cooper is collecting all these bad people off the index, like Angar, the Screaming Man. Some guy's really good at hacking computers. I don't know who he is either. Do these people even exist in the comics?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Dean will be the man to answer that.
Yeah. Dean, get back to us. But it does feel like they're kind of putting together almost like an anti-Avengers team. They're trying to get all these superpowered bad guys.
Dark Avengers.
Dark. Oh, my God.
He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
What? Anyway, keep going.
So, I don't know. Look, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Calvin's roller coasters.
What is his name? Calvin, what's her name?
Harris.
And Harris. Hobbs.
Calvin and Hobbs? No, that's not the right one.
Klein.
Calvin Klein? No, he's... No. I don't think I'd want to see Carl McLaughlin in underwear. I really wouldn't. But anyway.
His name is Dax.
Yeah, he's called the Doctor, but he's also called Calvin Zabo.
That's a great name for a character.
Zabo.
Calvin Zabo. Sorbo.
That's an even greater name for a character.
Amazing actor.
Kevin Sorbo.
Anyway, moving on.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's rolling up. It's going somewhere.
Not enough Patton Oswalt.
I don't know. I'm kind of happy not to see Patton Oswalt.
Oh, come on.
He was good fun, but the whole twin clone triplet thing, just lost me. I'm waving my hands. I don't care anymore.
Billy, Eric, and Sam.
Sure.
The call them what you will. The triplets. Anyway. Okay. So, iZombie. Watched the second episode for iZombie. We talked about this last week, Mike. Yeah. Very much a Veronica Mars. What'd you call it, Nick? Veronica Mars meets.
I said it was like one third Psych, which is one of my favorite TV shows.
Yep.
One third Veronica Mars.
Yep.
And There's another one there.
Yeah, I know.
I forgot that. it was great as well. Yeah. Oh, Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies, that's right.
Because it's kind of got this... No. It's... I mean, zombies as a matter, genre, are kind of dark. Like, you don't tell happy stories with zombies. It just doesn't... Well, okay, Warm Bodies works. But otherwise, it's not what you do. And she's a zombie. And she's a zombie that, like, a traditional sense zombie. She got bitten by another one. And, you know, people died in that event.
She got scratched.
Scratched, yeah.
Scratched.
All right, she didn't need a bit. She got scratched.
Yeah, come on, get
scratched like a horse at a race.
But yeah, it's got that same kind of almost lighthearted, whimsical take on death that Pushing Daisies had. Because Pushing Daisies is that show about the guy who had the power to kill
revive,
someone.
Revive them.
But if they stayed alive for more than a minute, someone else had to die in their place.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty horrible power when you think about it.
Yeah.
But the show plays it off as this really kind of light thing. And I got the same sort of feeling from iZombie, because she's a zombie and that's horrible. But they do it in such a nice way.
Pushing Daisies finished way too... I think they were ahead of their time.
They were. There was two seasons of it, and it could have lasted a lot longer, but people just didn't get it.
It just died.
Fun fact. Brian Fuller, the guy who made Pushing Daisies, was rebooting The Munsters a few years ago.
Oh, that was terrible.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great.
No.
Jerry O'Connell was Herman.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, and Eddie Izzard was Grandpa.
No.
And it was great.
No. Computer says no.
We're just going to have to... agree to disagree, which means we disagree.
We'll disagree to disagree.
So we agree?
No, we don't. So this week is a little bit more. This episode feels a little bit more structured than the first one did.
Which is amazing for zombies.
Well, it is. But the great thing about this is that it's probably got one of my favorite TV actors. He always seems to play the same.
Bruce Campbell.
No,
Tom Selleck.
No. David Anders, who was in Lost, who was also in not in Lost. What am I saying? He was in. He's one of my favorites, and I say, he's in that
Hawaii Five-0.
You know that he was in Hawaii Five-0.
Yes. What do I win?
He was in Hawaii Five-0.
I know the name, but I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, David Anders, who has been in so many things. And yet,
I'm stumped. I seriously have no idea who this guy is.
You don't know who David Anders is in? He was in Alias.
He was in Children of the Corn. I've not seen any of those things.
You've never seen Alias, man?
No.
Get on that thing. It's awesome. He was in Arrow as well.
I watched that show.
Yeah.
Who was he in Arrow? Was he one of
the... He probably was. I don't know. But anyway, he's in it, and he plays the... He plays the zombie that actually scratched it.
Oh, right.
And so
that fiend.
And so he's but there's something really engaging about his character.
So that's one of the things that I liked about the show is that they play her as when she's well fed, she's pretty much just an anemic looking person.
Yes,
but when she goes without brains for a while, she turns more and more into a traditional
George Romero zombie. Yeah.
That was a really nice idea. I like that. So is he kind of the same?
Yeah, he's I don't want to talk too much about his character because it will spoil this week's
episode. Batman? If he's Batman,
he's not Batman. All
right. Okay.
They all die.
Oh, no.
Just point that out. Well, two of them anyway. That's why it's called iZombie. But
everyone pronouncing it iZombie.
Give it keep with it. I think that this is definitely going places now. Like I said last week, I think that it is different from the comic, and you do have to separate the two from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it's definitely got the same DNA as most of the CW TV series do.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of dig it. You know?
So iZombie, like DC lined up five shows.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Was it five? Four or five? Anyway, there's Arrow, there's Flash, there's Gotham, then there's iZombie. And iZombie was delayed repeatedly,
massively,
but so far it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Like it,
yeah, it seems.
Do you reckon it's been retooled a lot, or do you reckon they just want to separate it from the more superhero shows?
I can see that it's probably you know, it hasn't been like the same characters. We've still got the same characters. You know, it's been retooled.
Yeah,
when all of a sudden the police detective has now gone somewhere else because he's got a promotion and. Now we've got the bumbling idiot who's taking over, you know, as he falls over his desk and introduces himself, you know.
Oh, what a wacky policeman.
Yeah, so tonight on the commish.
That show needed comic relief.
It was very serious.
Yeah. So, but I think that it has been retooled, but I think it's been retooled for the better.
Yep.
With the same characters, and I like that too. I think that's nice. So Eye of Zombies definitely that one. The other one that I watched this week, and I say this with a groan because I really wanted to like this, was a movie called Seventh Son. And this film is has got Jeff Bridges in it. Jeff Bridges.
I can't help but neither Mike or I reacted to the film. Yeah. I don't know about you, Mike, but I was like,
Seventh Son. Yeah, have you heard of it? Well, if you haven't heard of it, then
this is your chance to really sell it to us.
I'm not gonna sell this. All because right. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read straight from IMDb because you know what? That's all it's worth.
That's insane, man.
Young Thomas is an apprentice to the local spook to learn to fight evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
His first great challenge comes when the powerful Mother Malkin escapes her confines while the spook is away. That's what it's about. It is a fantasy adventure action film which stars Jeff Bridges, Julianne Moore, and Ben Barnes. Now, Ben Barnes... He was, he's English, and I'm pretty sure that Ben Barnes played, what's his name? He was in Stardust and the Chronicles of Narnia and all these other films that you haven't seen. So
I've seen Stardust.
He was in Year of the Gun as well, Stardust, which was pretty cool.
I haven't seen Year of the Gun.
So he's been in quite a bit. I don't know whether his agent should be shot for this or whether he should be. But
so hang on, the what do you call it? Description? Synopsis?
Yeah.
Spooks. So is it a spy or is it a ghost?
Or is it a ghost neither. Spy? So it's neither, which is...
I would watch the hell out of Ghost Spy. He died, but he's still on the surface.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's neither.
It's like Dead Man, but different.
Feel that chill down your neck? That's just the surveillance.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to write this one up.
It's copyrighted. It is copyrighted. We're putting it out now. Don't even try it.
Teams up with Ghost Dad.
Yeah.
No.
That's just one episode. The spook is he's like a grandmaster. He kind of works for hire to take out dragons and evil spirits and all that sort of stuff. So he's kind of like a Ghostbuster.
Wow.
Set in fantasy.
I did not see that connection coming. Okay.
without crossing any streams. Okay?
Does he have a proton wand?
He doesn't. Mm. He doesn't use any wands or anything.
I got a feeling the movie would have been a lot better if he had a proton wand.
You know what? It was so bad. I only watched three quarters of it. I don't even know what happened in the end.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happened in the end. They spent tens of millions of dollars on this thing, and I think most of it was on Jeff Bridges. None of it.
We were talking about Jeff Bridges last time I was on your show.
Half the time.
Must be a thing.
Half it was Tron, I think we're talking about.
It was Tron, yeah.
I think half the time, the problem that I had with Jeff Bridges, it was like he was chewing the side of his mouth the whole time he was talking.
Oh, okay.
Or he had maybe three packets of chewing tobacco in his mouth.
He probably had...
I was waiting for him to spit.
It was probably like root canal surgery, and he just really needed to pay for it. And he's like, "All right, I'll do your dance.
I'll do this film.
My face is numb, but you know we'll work that into the character, okay?"
My face is numb. We'll have some fun.
Yeah.
Bridges.
So the dude is really not the dude in this film.
He should not abide.
Yeah, not by that. Not by any means. So Seventh Son, don't even bother.
How many Lebowskis?
None. I didn't even see the end, so I don't know.
That's a fair point.
I didn't know. I mean, I've just looked on IMDb, and I should have.
You don't need to see the end.
I should have trusted IMDb. It's got 5.6 out of 10. So you know, and I think that Jeff Bridges probably gave himself those star ratings to get it across the line. So Seventh Son, don't even bother.
Right
on.
And that's and leaving on a sour note there. When we get into what you're reading, Nick.
I'm reading Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
See, I knew what you were reading, so I thought that just went perfectly with life.
Such a segue. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I had something else lined up. But anyway,
So yeah, it went to me as the death of Donatello. So either
way, that's sad.
We were stuffed.
That's sad.
So I'm quite the aficionado of Mortal Kombat. I don't know where it began, but it's like a guilty pleasure.
It happened with the movie.
I love the movie. The first movie is so good.
The first one.
The first movie. This is true. It's off topic, but anyway, Mortal Kombat the comic is good. I watched. I'm a big sort of martial arts fan. During high school, I watched Jackie Chan films every weekend with a friend of mine. That was how we spent our weekends. So, you know, if you ever in a fight, favorite the only thing near you film? Is like a ladder, Project A, and then Armor of God. But if you've only got a ladder or a bucket, I could beat everyone in the room.
And then Thunderball.
Thunderball is a Bond film.
No. Thunderball
is Sean Connery.
What was the Jackie Chan one then?
Thunderbucket.
No. Rumble in the Bronx?
No, there was
Shanghai Noon.
Keep talking.
I don't know.
Keep talking.
Anyway,
so help me out.
Mr. Nice Guy.
No, so, that was a shame.
Mortal Kombat. Now, what you got to do is, when you're bored, because I know it's going to happen, you've got to set up two computers, two TVs, whatever you've got, and you've got to put on Mortal Kombat, the movie, on one, and you've got to put Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee film, on the other.
Are you saying they're similar?
I'm saying they're extraordinarily similar.
Oh, really?
The structure of the film, it's almost like they went, okay, we're going to do Enter the Dragon, but we're going to change the characters.
Paul Mason, help us out. You're a Bruce Lee fan. Hopefully you've seen Mortal Kombat. You can tell us.
It's true. Like, you can watch it yourself and see it. It's very, very straightforward. It's all in front of you. There's no subtext. There's a few exceptions, but on the whole, it parallels the whole way through.
Dead set.
It's great.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's good fun. Anyway, the comic. I'm reading the comic because there's a new game coming out, and DC and NetherRealm Studios have got this kind of partnership going on. They did the same thing with Injustice. That's how it started.
Which is a great game.
It is. And so they've got this weekly comic coming out that's kind of telling the story in between Mortal Kombat 9
Is this an online comic, digital comic?
It is. I don't know if it's printed. Right, I know printing Injustice in a funny way.
They'll probably do it like they did. Was it Injustice that they did the same thing? They sort of brought it out 4 weeks in advance and then they brought then they started the print run.
Yeah, so the print, if you can find the print ones, you probably behind by a fair amount.
Yeah.
But it's doing a good job of branching the stories because the last one, I mean, Mortal Kombat's been around since 1992. And so with the last game, they actually did a bit of a time travel twist on the whole thing.
Yes.
And they had Raiden, the Thunder God, getting glimpses of the future. And so he had the chance to change the story. And so the story everyone knows and loves, because there is a story to Mortal Kombat, got changed radically in that game. And so now we're left with this completely different endpoint and a new game coming along and this story sort of fills the gaps. And there is a story. Like, each of the characters has a lot of background.
Mm.
They're getting a lot of actual kind of depth given to them in this comic. It's good fun. They'd worked in some of the more the meta game ideas. Like, in the home console versions, you had a blood code to make the game really gory again. The blood code is actually supposed to be part of the mythology now. It's not the same. It's not like you press buttons and all of a sudden everyone bleeds, but it's one of those things as a real fan, you sort of go, hang on a second. I know those words. I know the context, and it sort of all fits together. So I'm really enjoying it. It's no holds barred even. So there's characters, you know, turning into messy, bloody bits left, right, and center.
Yeah, I remember I made him one. He had one of those things where you could copy the games and they'd be on a disc rather than buying the actual, you know, games back then on the consoles. Now, for some reason, his Mortal Kombat had a bit of a glitch in it. So every time you'd have fatality. The end of it. It just kicked it up a notch for you. It actually added to the game.
Yeah. I kind of want to see a fatality.
It was a leveled up fatality.
Yeah, once he's dead, you kill him again.
Yeah.
That's right.
But so I'm really enjoying it. It's got a really nice sort of dynamic art style. It's
it is nice artwork.
Yeah, it's good fun. If you're into Mortal Kombat, you get a kick out of it. If you're not into Mortal Kombat, then I wouldn't recommend you anyway. But that's.
Finish him.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, yeah, I'm following that. I'm going to be following it all the way through to the game's release. And, all being well, I'll just...
When is the game due to be released?
April.
Right.
It's due. It's soon.
April 15th? Yeah. April 16th? Traditionally, they came out on Mondays because it's Mortal Monday. I don't know if this one is because games come out on Tuesdays now. So, we'll see.
Well, so it's all, you know, if they do like an 11:59 release, then technically it is still Monday.
True. And I could be down there dressed as a ninja.
There you go.
I mean, that's what you do with these things, right? You dress up for the releases.
That's right. Yeah, just for the record, too, it was Thunderbolt, not Thunderball.
Well, there you go.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
It was Thunderbolt, the one where he was in the gambling place, and he was jumping up and down on the nets above
Yeah, that sounds like a Jackie Chan
and
film.
He was taking on the Yakuza.
That also sounds like a Jackie Chan film. Yeah,
well, I think that's probably...
When did that come out?
Yakuza.
It was 95.
Yeah, we didn't see it because we were watching SBS films. So right. if it wasn't old enough to be on SBS, we wouldn't have seen
it. So if you haven't seen Thunderbolt, then you need to watch Thunderbolt.
But Lady Rose and the Canton Kid had a lot of fight scenes in a rope factory, and that's what I thought you were talking about.
No. Yeah, watch Thunderbolt. That's probably one of the longest... Probably one of the longest fight scenes I've seen in film.
So, and when you're talking Jackie Chan, that's a long fight
scene. fight scene. So, yeah,
in fact, well, I hear his next film has him enter a room and fight for 2 hours straight.
Mm, yes.
And I'm going to love every second of it.
It's called Fight. That's all it's called. It's just called Fight. Part one.
The redubbed name is Jackie Chan Wins, which gives away a bit of the ending, but you know, it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Jackie Chan.
Do you expect anything else?
No, not really.
Did you like the Jackie Chan Adventures, the cartoon?
No.
Okay. Enough said.
Putting it nicely, no.
Okay, maybe I'll go on to what I'm reading. Okay.
What are you reading, Nate?
It's 400 characters or less this week for me, yes, okay. All right,
and
so...
your time starts... now.
Here we go. Past the Waves from Dark Horse Comics is another time travel comic. A misfit time traveling team from the future crash into 2015, causing a rift in space-time continuum with no way back.
That's three time travels so far.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The first issue has all the elements of something cool with the dragon, time travel, and robots, but the bickering between the characters unfortunately detracts from the story, written by Matt Kind. The art is rad from DC famer Scott Collins, but only time will tell whether this book will continue to exist.
Oh. What?
Oh. Did you like that? Two puns in the last sentence.
Are you suggesting that Scott Collins is going to go back in time and he might not survive to write the book, so the book will fade out?
Well,
Marty's
Scott Collins is doing the artwork, so I don't know about writing it, but
maybe that's what he goes. Goes back and writes
something
it.
Fade.
Yep.
You do? Really?
Well,
we'll see how we go.
So last week I talked about Chrononauts with Mike.
You did.
And that is just bumper. Like I read this week also that Chrononauts has actually been already picked up for a film. So the rights have been bought. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This is Mark Miller, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is Mark Miller and Sean.
So he's got a history of writing things that get picked up as films really fast.
Yeah. But but Chrononauts is good. It is from start to finish, this is fun. Whereas this one, I just felt that like the front cover, when I saw the front cover for this, I was like, yeah, I'm so into this book straight away. But then as I started to read it, I thought, what am I missing from the front cover? Because the front cover is done exceptionally well. It shows all the characters. It shows, you know, them in – it's not deceptive in any way. It just felt – you know what it felt like? You know what it felt like? It felt like The Losers.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what it felt like. And I think that, you know, give it time, it might work. But I tell you what, they're going to have to really change gear. The other thing too was there was lots of little bits of remember that book that that M was talking about that had the little context, the little at the bottom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That this book has the same thing.
Okay.
So it has little bits of information that help to propel the story to the next page or give you insight as to what that's about, and it's not necessary. It's not relevant. It's a very juxtaposed situations, and I think that that's probably what's other than their bickering, because they're not a team. They're a bunch of misfits that have sort of been bonded together through this situation, which then puts them in 2015 where it's, you know, internet 1.0 and, you know, those types of things. And so they're trying to sort of deal with this, you know, sort of it's almost archaic world compared to the world that they live in, if you know what I mean. And that's the difference here is that I think that there's way too much overanalyzation of time travel and the future as opposed to Chrononauts, which is just like, hey, we're building a time machine and we're just going to have fun, you know.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it feels. Have you read Chrononauts?
I haven't yet, but I get what you mean, because there's time travel where time travel is part of the story,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's elements that you need to be worried about, and it is a device in itself.
Mm.
And then there's where time travel is the story,
mm.
and it's all about the time travel and the paradoxes and the equinoxes and other words that in Oxford could turn into. You know what I mean, though? It's like, yeah. Like I said, the bickering and the overanalyzing, it's like you could just let it go and tell a story.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I'll leave it up to your listeners whether you agree or disagree or whether you're going to get it or not. But, yeah, I'll give it another issue, and if it's feeling the same, then I'll probably drop that one.
Okay.
So, and that's pretty quick.
Hmm.
So, Mike, what have you got that's reading this week? That wasn't about 400 characters or less, was it? It was a good review.
Well,
yes.
I spoke briefly on the internets about Turtles number 44.
Spoilers.
What happens in Turtles 44 that's such a spoiler?
Spoiler.
I don't know.
Well, Donnie gets shelled out, basically, and beaten, to what appears to be his death.
Choice of words, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And by Rocksteady, of all people.
Oh.
It seems that Bebop and Rocksteady aren't those comedy klutzes that we were so used to in the 80s and 90s. And
maybe they are, and we've just never had a frame of reference for how bad Donatello is. And now...
Hey, as many people have been saying, hey, he's the smart guy. I actually had his shelf broken in two. So you can imagine he was in quite a bit of pain.
So he's got no shell. His shell was...
He is a half shell right now. He's not a full
top,
shell.
Top, bottom, side, left, right. No. What's the...
Top,
what's
top shell.
Top shell.
It's a top shell story. It's quite brutal.
He's a top shell turtle.
Let me just read you the dialogue that was read. If you haven't actually read the book yet.
And now we go to readings with Mike.
You've got Bebop going, whoa, you split him in half, man. Wow. The dialogue is awesome. But
I'm really not sure what happened there. Like, is there any visuals that I need to understand?
Just it out, Dad.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Now I'm convinced.
Yeah, did you expect it to look like that under there? Gross, that's right. So that is kind of, you know.
Is there any more of that? Was there any more of any more reading there that you were going to?
No, that was it.
Concludes reading with Mike.
But a sledgehammer.
That paints a pretty vivid picture right there, though. Like,
exactly.
There's no denying that something brutal has just gone down to the border.
So, Donnie was found in a pool of his own blood by the rest of his brothers.
Has Peter or the RSPCA been called on this this travesty to an animal?
We have seen a page from 45 where Donnie looks to be in some kind of coma state.
He's actually in General Hospital.
He's in the Splinter Hospital.
Yeah, and they're all staring up at the ceiling wondering what's going on.
Sledgehammer making its way slowly towards his heart. He's going to have to put an arc reactor in there to stop.
He is the smart one.
What was it called on the Muppet Show when they were always... going into theatre? What was it called? Was it General Hospital?
Oh. I was going to say the first thing that came to mind, which is Pigs in Space. It's not right at all.
It isn't right. I'm pretty sure. Was it Muppet Hospital or General Hospital? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's where he is right now.
But supposedly there's talk that the final story will be ending with 50. Now, I don't know if that means that this run of Turtles ends at 50.
It could be.
Or if the status quo will return. And
I think the nice thing about INDW is they're not afraid to end.
Well, that's true. Ghostbusters, they kind of renumbered after about the first 20 issues and started it again.
It's brilliant.
So I'll be curious to see what they decide to do with the Turtles here, and especially with this revelation about Donnie. They've never actually killed off one of the Turtles. They've lost limbs and eyes and stuff in other iterations of story.
Yes.
But I'll be curious to see what happens here.
Do Turtles grow bits back?
No.
Is that chameleons?
They're not like wizards. They grow their tails back or anything. Right.
So when they've lost stuff, they've lost stuff.
Yep. The other thing I was going to read, but thanks to traffic, I didn't get a chance to read.
Were you doing a Rob Liefeld and
issue 50 there you go. Of Batman Eternal? So I will talk about that next week.
KLF.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
that's it for me though. Which is good timing because we are getting close to the time.
Right, let's quickly get into what you're plugging for this week. What you're plugging this week, we have Diamond Downloads. Now, Diamond Downloads is a a new incentive to promote indie comics. They're other than they've got a sort of a large range of comics on their site that you can download for a small price. I think it's like $4.99 for per digital comic. But they also have like a weekly special where they'll have like a choice, and it might be I think it's about Sophie's 8. Choice? So not Sophie's Choice. I think it's Digital Downloads Choice.
Right.
Where you can download some of the some.
Who is this, Cheryl?
Surely you can let me finish this.
I'm getting another bridges on board.
So surely you can let me finish.
We can let you finish, but don't call us Shirley.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I led you right into that one.
I feel dirty.
I led you right into it. So what they have is they have a choice, which is about 8 comics each week, which you can download for $1. So they've had Cranbourne before. I think they had an issue of the list, and they've had all sorts of different ones.
I'll buy that for
$1. Carmen's another one. Carmen issue 1 has just gone up today. So it's digitaldownloads.com. You can give them a look up. They're also on the Facebooks, so you can have a look at them as well. The other one that we can mention is the list. From Paul Bedford and Henry Pop has saturated the Australian market, so they've decided to go international now and release a new hardcover book with a great new visual on the front of it.
Yes, you put it out to the masses to see the correct way of formatting the cover. And
did you choose the right one? Or did you choose the other one?
I didn't choose either. I was quite in the
I chose the right one. And then I was watching all these people slamming it, and I was like, oh, it's not going to get chosen, but it did, which is great. Anyway, getting back to it, the list hardcover is at Kickstarter, and it's actually going through Underbelly Comics, which is a Canadian comic company. What they're doing now is it's almost like a pre-order on the Kickstarter. We already know it's a book. It's already there. It's got a new hardcover. It's a beautiful looking hardcover too. Mm-hmm. That. If you're listening to this, you don't have yourself a copy of the list, then this is definitely the way to do it. Is jumping on Kickstarter and finding them. You can look it up on Google under Kickstarter the list, or you can actually look it up on Kickstarter under the list.
And I'm sure Paul will be mentioning it occasionally over the next few months.
I think we've mentioned Paul enough because we're hearing that Transformers right now. That's pretty much what you're pogging for this week.
I'd like to plug something because I'm taking over the podcast from here on.
Yeah, well, it's your third time here, so...
I feel like Steve Martin. So there was a film that came out in 2001 called Super Troopers.
Yes.
Done by some guys called Broken Lizard. They're a comedy troupe. It's a personal favorite of mine. I saw it when it was first released in the cinemas and they actually appeared in person. And we didn't recognize them, so we thought they were a bunch of idiots. And we told them to leave and then watch the film. And 10 minutes into it, we wished they'd come back. But anyway, they never did.
True story, bro.
True story. But it's a good film, Super Troopers. And they've just announced an Indiegogo campaign to create Super Troopers 2. That went live about 26 hours ago, and they've already hit the first milestone of $2 million.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty full on. It's a massive campaign they've got planned. They've got videos coming out daily as updates. They've done all the videos in character. So you're getting sort of a bit of a comedy performance along with their campaign updates and stuff. It's looking really good. If these guys and their track record or films are anything to go by, then Super Troopers 2 are going to be awesome. And this is our chance to put some money in and make it happen. So... everyone should go check that out. Super Troopers 2.
Yep. Done.
And there's nothing else I can say apart from the fact that More Rats 2. There's another 2 that's coming out.
Yep.
Yes.
So all the staff are all the staff. All the cast are being approached. And so far we have Brody on board. We have Willem. We have
what's Shannon Doherty's character? Shannon Doherty.
Brenda.
Hang
on. Does that mean Ben Affleck's gonna be in it?
Don't know.
Hopefully he'll come back and you'll be, you know.
He'll be huge.
I'm Batman.
He'll be bat huge.
He will be
Batman. Well, maybe there's a joke about him being Batman.
It's Kevin Smith.
He's the guy from Fashionable Male. He'd possibly still be in prison.
Well, this is true, There's an excuse to be huge as well.
Absolutely.
So it totally makes sense. Well, actually, that'd be kind of cool, him getting out of prison and trying to
associate back into your life. The Ballad of Brody
Kevin
Bruce.
Smith, if you're listening. 10 grand, that's all.
Okay, Mike, it's time to stop talking because it's time for us to go. So you can find me at Nath Stones on Twitter. You can find Mike
at Mickey Toons all around the interwebs apart from Instagram, where it's the real Mickey Toons.
Yep.
You can find me under at The Excitable Boy on Twitter. Don't look elsewhere. I use a bunch of silly names. Yeah. It won't work.
So if it's what's your...
Burger ringing.
What's your...
Combating.
Or if it's what's your time traveling a second time, then we want to hear about it. Thanks very much. We'll see you next week for episode 98.
Ooh, it means nothing.
Bye.
Bye.